Hey, welcome back to Marooners Talk. First episode in about 5 months. This is episode 12, titled "This is Episode 12." My name's Chris, and with me are Chris and Vinny. You guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Chris Gravel, Chris G on The Rock, Psycho TM, which was bestowed upon me as supreme editor-in-chief of the multiverse. So, editing questions should come to me because I created editing. And I'm in school for journalism and English. I would like to work as a journalist writing in English, preferably. And I've been playing games for almost 30 years now, and know way too much information about it and not enough about the real world, but you know, it is what it is. I sound cool to my nerd friends, and to everybody else I think I'm a moron, so it's been worth it, I think, because I know how to get through the Lost Woods in Zelda.
It's a valid life skill.
Yep.
I think not enough people have that skill. Everyone, I'm Vinny Luongo. I'm currently a writer at Maroons Rock, and I used to do the podcast with Tom Clancy on Player Affinity. My day job is writing code for a legal software company. I like long walks on the beach and long video games that take over 80 hours to complete. Yeah, that's about it.
So Skyrim lets you take long walks on a beach and takes over 80 hours.
See, it's just everything all in one, because Skyrim's the perfect game.
It's the dream.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. if it were to live a dream, it would be Skyrim.
They just need to let you code legal software in it, and then you'd never have to leave
exactly,
your house.
Exactly. If they could implement something like Minecraft, where I could create massive things in it and then code illegal software in that massive thing that I made, then yeah, it'd be great.
That would be the dumbest game.
It would be awful. I would not play it.
That would be terrible.
It's like The Sims, but way worse.
I can't finish this last achievement. I don't know how to code.
Yeah, it's like The Sims without the benefit of it being a micromanagement game. It's a game where you actually have to do everything you already have to do anyway.
Yeah. I don't.
That's awful.
That sounds like a terrible game.
That game, I don't get to be president at all. I just do my shitty day job all the time. It's awful.
What are you doing tonight after work?
Oh, work. Going back to work in Skyrim.
Yeah, I gotta go code some crap for the Jarl. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
That sounds terrible.
That's just a bad idea.
Speaking.
That's why you're not in game
exactly,
design.
Exactly. So, because if I were, I would be, you know, even worse than, stupid fun games.
Yeah.
Well, hell, if you were in game design, we might be treated to some garbage like, oh, I don't know, Conduit 2 or something.
Hey, actually, I bet if he was in game design, he would be doing Phoenix Wright games. But making them much more tedious.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Read through this 400 pages of code to get the clue.
I think I have the right.
Are you effing kidding me, dude? Really?
Oh, Conduit 2. How you hold a dear place to my heart. Because I currently own the record for beating that game in under, I think it was an hour and a half.
Wow, sounds like your money's worth.
I used to test for High Voltage. I was one of the testers. Tom Clancy and I made a game of who could beat the game faster. So, yeah, I beat it without cheats in an hour and a half.
And the reward was you only had to play it for an hour and a half.
The reward was I was done with my job at that time, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the reward was, what was it, a Space Lincoln or something?
Was it a Space Lincoln? I don't remember.
Or was it like Space Benjamin Franklin? Oh, George Washington,
yeah. The secret ending to that game is that George Washington and, or is, I think they made it the actual ending of the game now. It's a time traveling Lincoln and George Washington tells Ford that he needs to come with them. It's awful. It's terrible.
That sounds like the dumbest. I feel like I really missed out on something.
No, you didn't, because you have to fight a T-Rex or something at the end, and the boss battles make absolutely no sense. And God, that game.
I had to play Game of Thrones, so I'm riding in the same seat as you are.
And how was that? They made a Game of Thrones game?
Kind of.
Yep.
Kind of. Yeah.
Well, they made a board game into a real-time strategy game, which wasn't a board game to begin with. And if it was a board game, it would be one of the worst-selling board games in the world. And then they're like, let's take out the turn-based and thoughtfulness of it, make it extremely slow as a real-time strategy game, and make sure that it doesn't actually work. There was a story mission I was doing, and you have to protect your main character. And it freezes while your character's telling you, like, here's what a spy is. Here's the 50 different things you can do with a spy that you have to micromanage. And while she's talking to me, you hear, I'm so sorry about this. And somebody assassinates her, so the game ends.
Yeah, when you're in the middle of a dialogue cutscene that you can't move around or do anything in.
Yeah, so you're sitting there reading, and then she dies. And it's like, game over. I was like, what a piece of shit.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I still gave it a decent review because the ideas behind the game are great. The implementation are terrible.
God.
It was terrible. It was a very, very difficult couple weeks. Chris got to hear me cry a lot.
Yeah, that part was entertaining for me.
Yeah, I was like, how did I get this for free? It feels like you should have paid me to take this. So I got ripped off.
Well, it's the promise of future joy to come.
They're making a action RPG based, the same company, based off Game of Thrones, so I'm sure they'll do great with that. Yeah, they're not.
No.
I bet I get lucky enough to review that too.
Well, you do already have the history of having reviewed one of the Game of Thrones games. Mm. So
I will tell you this, it actually got me back to finishing off the first book. Whenever school started, I took a break from it. I didn't want to read it before the actual HBO shows, so that my wife and I could see it and be excited and surprised at the same time. And then school started, and I kind of put it to the side. But playing through it, I was like, man, I need something good to clean my taste buds of this. And I'm almost done with the first book now. Really, really enjoying it.
Cool.
Very, very good series. Very great show. Terrible game.
Yeah, Tom Clancy's actually been going through all the books. He's on Clash, I think, right now.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to start the second one or if I'll wait for the second season, because it was really fun watching the show with my wife not knowing what to expect.
Yeah. I mean, you could go either way with that. I had already read all the books well before, and I had been waiting for Dance with Dragons for years. So I didn't really have much of a choice. I already knew everything that was going to happen. And then on the other hand, since I knew what was going to happen, it actually made the series pretty enjoyable. Because you get that, oh, hey, yeah, they did that right. Oh, hey, yeah, they did that right kind of feeling.
Yeah, and with the books, it's like, well, without ruining any story, there's a particular time where somebody comes back with somebody else from a battle where it's kind of, you know, tricky little, you know who I'm talking about. One of the, we'll just say that he's pretty.
Mm.
And whenever he came back, my wife and I, because you're so invested at that point, my wife and I had no clue that's what was going to happen, on our feet cheering, which we've never done for a show or movie. We're like, whatever. But we're on our feet like, yeah! and then the big shocking thing that happens, we did not speak for almost an hour after that. We were like, oh my God. And I think if I saw the books, I mean, if I read the books first, whenever we saw that, I would have been like, I know it's coming. And it wouldn't have been the same. I wouldn't have had that shared experience since neither one of us knew. So
yeah, that makes sense. I can understand that.
Yeah. No, so I might finish the first one and wait.
You know what? Go ahead and do that, because what sucks now is Tom will text me every now and then talking about something that's going on in the books.
Yeah.
And then he'll
talk about his speculations about what he hopes or what he thinks is going to happen. And it's at that point when I just stop texting him.
Yeah.
Because, like, anything can happen to anyone at any time in
the series. That's what I absolutely love about the stories. Yeah.
So, he gets closer than I can actually tell him he gets sometimes.
Yeah.
And then he finds out.
Yeah, I think we'll probably do that. Because, like, even up to the point of that moment where, like, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. Something that's not going to happen. And then it happens, and you're like, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And for like an, and that's where that episode ends.
Yeah.
It's not like you get a little bit of closure right after it. It's just, that's it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a week of both of us just like, how are they gonna fix that? that's not something that you can easily fix.
Yeah. But no, it's a great series.
It is. And the shows are incredible. Now reading back to the books, they're really doing justice. There's very few things that they miss, even with the internalization of the characters, the stuff they're thinking. Mm-hmm. You're still pretty connected to the characters, even to the show. They do really, really well at conveying who they are.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's enough of something that happened a long time ago. So, Skyrim.
Skyrim.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, I spent about 30 hours, I would say, and I maybe went through two story missions the whole time. Yeah. And I'm still, I think I'm at 40 hours now, and I think I did one more story mission, and I'm going to... I went to magic school, but then I realized that magic was just a bad idea with the way that I was building the character, so I'm trying to change it over... Right. To a ranger striker type person, so archery and dual wielding and light armor. Yeah. So hopefully I didn't delve too many points into destruction already that it's gonna, you know, hurt me in a while. So I'm hoping that the transition will be easier, or maybe the PC community will actually make a respec mod, or I can probably just use the console to take those points away.
Yeah, there is a way to do it. I saw there's some commands you can do to get rid of points, and then but you have to you remove X points, so you just have to see how many you removed and then add those points.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely have to keep like a.
I kind of like being stuck with.
Yeah.
It.
Like.
So and what's strange? Okay, so I'm level 23, I think, or 22, and I've barely touched the story. I've done just a few things in the actual story, and I've been doing Dark Brotherhood quests and some Thieves Guild stuff and. Bunch of side quests. So I was talking to my buddy there's two other guys who are playing it, all different styles, and he's almost done with the story, and he's level 9.
Damn.
Yeah. So, I'm guessing you can run through it.
Well, yeah,
and
I was talking...
I'm not planning on it.
I was talking to Tom yesterday, actually, and he was saying that he's heard the story can be gone through in about 10 hours if you just go straight through, but
like.
Then there's hundreds of hours worth of gameplay if you really experience the world, and maybe even more than that.
And all the side quests, they don't feel like side quests. I mean, every quest that you go on feels like the same care was put into it as the main storyline quest. Like the Dark Brotherhood stuff, anybody who doesn't do that is missing out on unbelievably good quests. I mean, they are some of the most fun quests I've been on.
Yeah, I remember when I played Oblivion that I did Dark Brotherhood, I did Thieves Guild, and I did something else. Like, I was doing quests for three different guilds at one time, until they eventually kind of became mutually exclusive at some point. And then I kind of stopped playing.
And Skyrim, I think, is the closest that any game has come to being a single-player MMO. Because the crafting system, the leveling system, huge open world. I mean, it's almost like an MMO. You get that same hook, but you're not paying monthly fees and you don't have other people that you have to
talk to. Yeah, and there's also so much to do in that game without having to worry about DLC coming eventually or anything.
Yeah, I already can't wait for the DLC. I actually saw today that they have a way that you can transfer your saves between the PC and 360.
I'm really interested in that, because I'm playing it on the PC, and for the holidays, I would really like to maybe pick it up for 360 so I can, you know, travel to my parents' house, because I play it with a Xbox controller to begin with anyways on my TV. So I don't play it with keyboard and mouse. I just thought that the looking with the mouse was just way too slow. Yeah, oh, really? I tried to, like, it might be something with my setup that at the time, but yeah. I just feel more comfortable with the Xbox controller, so.
Yeah, I'm considering getting it on PC, on 360 mm-hmm. also, especially with DLC coming out earlier, and because all my friends are playing it on 360, so I get to see what they're doing, but they can't see what I'm doing, so, you know. And that way we can all just sit on live and BS the whole time. So I'm actually kind of trying to decide if I'm going to do that or not.
Well, when the time comes for me to pick it up, it will be on 360. I'm just debating whether... I have it in my Gamefly queue, so I'm going to try it out. But I'm debating whether I want to wait and get a Game of the Year edition that will inevitably be released with all the DLC. Or if I just want to go ahead and buy it and do it now. I don't know. I'm just so backed up on so many other games that I want to play. Like, I still have to finish Infamous, Infamous 2, Uncharted 2, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Uncharted 3 now. And half a dozen other freaking things that I haven't been able to touch.
Yeah, wow.
My biggest concern on it with 360 is the load times are so much longer than PC.
Yeah.
Like, it was
bad. I noticed that a lot, too. I was watching videos of the 360 version, and you would actually get to see, like, the high-def models, whereas on the PC, it loads almost instantly for me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, going in and out of houses, it takes a couple seconds at most. But I went over to a friend's where he was showing me his playthrough and his character and stuff on 360, and it was just loading it took about a minute, minute and a half. I was like, oh, I don't know how you sit through this, dude. Painful. And he had it installed, but I don't know.
Was he getting...
Same time, sitting on the couch and doing it.
Was he getting the texture error? The texture, low-res texture problem that the 360's getting?
I think he saw it occasionally, but he hasn't seen it much.
No, okay.
So, he hasn't had much of an issue. And they actually... I just saw that there's a patch coming out around Thanksgiving. The week after Thanksgiving. They'll be putting out the first patch for PS3 and 360. They're being certified right now. And then PC will be the week after Thanksgiving. Okay. So they haven't said anything specific. But there are patches coming.
Nice. Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, so that should help. I know one of the big things that they're working on is the texture issues and hopefully load times.
Yeah.
See, load times don't bother me that much. I'm used to them, but I just pick up my phone and I'll jump on Twitter or something do something a little quick to kill the time.
Yeah, I'm spoiled by PC. I mean, I play most games on PC now, so there's like no load time because I have a big PC gaming rig, so...
Mm. Yeah, same.
I'm spoiled.
Same here. I built it for the sole reason of Battlefield 3. So I have a pretty high-end rig, and it ended up that I just continued to buying games for it. So I bought Skyrim and Saints Row for PC, and I just use my Xbox controller on my TV.
Does it have to be a wired or is it
wired? No, it's like a little receiver that you get with all of Microsoft's mouses that is the same thing. It's just different frequency, I think. So it's another controller. I just bought the receiver for it, and I'm just using my normal Xbox controller.
I may have to do that.
Yeah, you can buy the receiver.
I've never even looked into
it. On Amazon, the receiver's like $10 to $15. It's really cheap.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Cool.
So, but
Have to do that then. That'd be
if you go to a store like a Target or a Best Buy, you're going to have to pay $60 for another remote, so I don't really see a point in that.
No. There's no point in that. Well, I may have to do that on Amazon then. That's pretty sweet.
How does speaking of Saints Row a little bit, how does you? I'm assuming you bought it for 360 or PC.
Yeah, I
have it on 360. How does it run for you?
Yeah.
Because on PC, I know my computer's capable of running it, but it's so choppy when it's loading new areas.
I have not had an issue. I don't even remember a load time besides the very beginning of the game.
See, it's not the load time, but it's like when it's streaming the next area in, it takes forever. So I'm wondering if it's like the software, if it's a hardware problem for me.
It must be software. I don't know, but I don't see an issue on 360 at all. I mean, the stuff pops up immediately. I never have frame rate issues. It never freezes up on me. There's been the occasion where I get bugs, like you're on one of the early missions where you're having to go clear out the Morning Stars, who are like whatever they're called, gang clearing missions or whatever they are. And he would get stuck behind a car and he won't come over, but then I'll be, you know, a quarter mile away and then he'll come flying through the sky and be in the car. Because he takes like the super elite.
Yeah, they Saints Row Steelport has the quickest runners of any kind, because literally crazy. I'll drive there and it'll be on the other side of the map and I'll get out of the car and all of a sudden they'll just pop up behind me.
And these people are tough too, because I have a really tricked out truck and I ran over a guy 4 times and then he got up and kept on shooting me. I was like, this is ridiculous. And I have, like, the kneecappers on the wheels and everything, and he's like, whatever. So,
I do love those guys are tough. I do love pile-driving grandmas into curbs, though.
Yes. Yes. It's pretty fun. There's just the game is so over the top, dude. It's so ridiculous.
I also love the fact that they don't cater to the whole tutorial thing. Like,
Oh, no.
Like, it's not like you go there and you take this pistol, go learn how to steal a car. It's like, no, you know how to steal a car. You know what this pistol's for. Here's a rocket launcher. Like,
yeah. Here, jump in this helicopter with a rocket launcher and blow up everything.
It's like, make sure you don't blow up the...
It's the guardian angel.
Oh, yeah. And, like, it keeps on getting worse and worse. Not worse, but, you know, more ridiculous.
More over the top.
It continues to escalate as you...
So I made a mixtape, which is, I'm about to go edit it to be only one song, which is You're the Best, because I noticed in a giant car chase shootout, You're the Best is the perfect song at all times. And my taunt is the Daniel song.
Yeah.
So doing the Karate Kid moves with the ultimate Karate Kid music is fantastic. Right. But there's a mission where you're taking the penthouse, and they play Power
by Kanye West.
Dude, the song is perfect right there. Like, you go in, you're like, I'm the baddest mother alive. It's so good, you're just like clearing this penthouse out.
Parachute from a helicopter while Power's playing, and you just sit there and you have a shotgun. You're just shotgunning everyone in this house until you get like your friends from the elevator, and then your friends and you are just rampaging on this house. It's awesome. That mission was amazing.
Yeah. I haven't had a mission I don't like yet. I don't like this gang clearing one that much because my friend's an idiot. And he won't get back in the car.
Yeah.
But, well, but for the most part,
I think the aggro on the gangs is a little bit too much sometimes because...
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, you shoot one person, you have 3 cars coming after you all of a sudden. And then they run over a cop, but the cop is aggro to you somehow. And yeah. I don't know. Some of that stuff is kind of meh.
Last night I was doing that one where you have to start killing Morning Stars that are in like little, the gang clearing stuff. And I guess I took too long with the second group, and there were something like 5 or 6 of their gang members showed up also in cars, and 2 cop helicopters with sniper rifles all on me. And I was like, I don't know how to get out of this. I'm screwed. I don't know how to... So I just quit at that point. I was like, this is frustrating. Yeah. This is too frustrating tonight. But this was right after Skyrim crashed on me in the middle of a big mission, so it was just a bad gaming night, but... it was every mission though, especially Guardian Angel, man. That mission was fantastic.
Yeah.
Just shooting rockets out of a helicopter.
Now, does it help to have played the first 2 at all? Because I've been curious about it.
Nope.
Does not matter at all. And your first mission is, without giving too much away, not that you can really spoil the storyline of Saints Row. You're the biggest gang now. You're like a multi-billion-dollar corporate conglomerate that started off as a small gang, but you do like this bank heist, but everybody knows you and wants autographs and stuff, so it's like your normal thing. I mean, you start off like, all right, you guys know the drill. And actually, in the middle of a big shootout, I ran over to somebody and signed an autograph for them.
Nice.
And they loved it and ran off. But they, during that mission, they pretty much catch you up on what you've missed, which all you've missed is games that were not near as good, making the Saints Row go from just a few guys to a huge worldwide media corporation. Hmm. And then, and it's not like most games where they take everything away from you at the very beginning. I mean, pretty quick. I have a fleet of cars, maybe 2 hours into the game, I have a fleet of cars completely tricked out. I own quite a few shops, and I have a UAV drone computer that I can launch rockets from the sky with. So, you don't start off with a pistol and a bicycle. I mean, you're... all hell breaks loose within the first few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So, and they cover the basics of the backstory. And actually, you know what? I gotta say this real quick, then we can be done with Saints Row. But in one of the first missions, you're riding with Pierce, and you get in the car, and he's like, we need some music. And so they turn on Sublime, and they sing along to the whole song, laughing and singing along with it, both characters. And no game has made characters felt that alive as whenever I played this. Because they were singing and laughing about it, and then, you know, they'd be like, okay, you do it. And then she would do, like, the, you know, take a little tip from me. And they do the little, all the crazy stuff, dude. It was awesome. I was smiling the whole way through it. So I think they really pulled off something different with this one. So, and they give you backstory as you go, so you don't need to know what's going on.
Very cool.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Yeah. Oh, Zemos is probably my favorite character out of all of them because he's a pimp that only speaks in auto-tune.
See, I saw him in a review. I cannot wait to get
And him. It's driving it's around like with him is game. Awesome when he's talking about, like, capping people because he's doing it in auto-tune. And yeah, it's hilarious.
So does he carry around one of those little toy devices at all times or something? And just speak
it's
into
like
it?
It's like a gold cane with a microphone.
With a microphone on it. So he's like has like a yeah. a semi-automatic gun in one hand and the microphone speaking through it in the other.
So when he's like talking shit to someone he's about to kill, he's doing it in auto-tune?
Yep.
He's pretty much singing it to him.
That's an awesome character.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He is fantastic.
It's kind of a spoiler thing if I tell you how you recruit him. So I won't, but that mission involves ridiculous things. So
how far into it?
It's not that far. It's literally maybe I would say 10-15% into the game, so maybe if you're doing straight story missions, it's maybe 5-6 missions in. So if you guys want me to tell you about it, I can because it's literally awesome.
No, I'll hopefully get to it tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to play.
Yeah, no, when you get to that, you'll be laughing the whole time.
Good. I've been very, very impressed, man. Like, the first Saints Row, I wasn't a big fan of. Saints Row 2, I liked, kinda.
Yeah.
But Saints Row 3, man, it's very good.
You know, the Keith David factor kind of, you know, goes into this, because Saints Row 1 had Keith David in it, and I really wish his character didn't die. So, spoilers if you haven't played 1 and 2, but it's been a while, so...
Yeah.
Other than that, kind of on the same way of Saints Row, GTA 5, guys.
Yep.
GTA 5, and it's taking place in San Andreas. Well, Los Santos.
Vinewood?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's Los Santos is like L.A., basically.
Yeah.
So,
I was really hoping that was Tommy Vercetti.
People have been saying that it might be him, and then it got quickly disclosed that it wasn't, so...
Yeah. Just sad. That was... Vice City was my favorite of all the GTAs, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's definitely the one that I have the fondest memories of. The thing that I'm upset about GTA 5 with is that they're just going back to a city we already did. I would have liked them to do Chicago or, you know, another city other than something they've already done.
Right.
Yeah, but they're going to flesh this one out like nothing else. It's not even going to fill.
Well, we don't even know if it's just Los Santos, right? It could be all of San Andreas and San Andreas.
Yeah.
Like with.
I don't know. I have no problem redoing the whole city, even if it was just what was in San Andreas.
Mm-hmm. As long as you don't have to do the toy helicopter mission out of.
Yeah. War. Yeah.
If they can leave that kind of thing out, then yeah, I'll enjoy GTA 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they get a little bit more ridiculous, I wouldn't mind it either, because I think that's what 4 was missing, was all the seriousness in the story. It was a different direction for Rockstar, and it's great, and I think that their storytelling is getting superb with Red Dead and everything else that they're coming out with.
Yeah.
So, but I think the GTA series needs to stay a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I do too. I think they need to switch from GTA being their headliner to Red Dead being their headliner. And just keep on going down that. Because Red Dead is one of my favorite games.
It was fantastic. Like, that game was...
I wasn't too crazy about it.
Really?
I appreciate it, but I don't know. I don't remember how far into it I got before I was like, okay, I'm done.
I just loved it because there's a huge gap for Western games. Like, Old West...
Oh, there's, like, nothing.
There's nothing, and it's like, you could... In an industry that's filled with cityscapes and, you know, steal this car or, you know, be this hero or something like that, like, being no-named Western people and having beautiful landscapes to look at, it was great.
It was beautiful. I'll give it that.
But see, Chris, I'm like you with GTA. Like, the only GTA I ever actually beat was Vice City. All the rest, I play for between 5 to 10 hours and I'm done. I'm just like,
oh, no. My favorite GTA was GTA 2. I beat that multiple times. I can still go back and play that one.
That one's the top. That one's the top-down futuristic one?
Yeah, that's the top-down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... it's just fantastic because it still has a good sense of humor to it, especially in the missions and some of the gang factions, depending on the city you're in. And then, I mean, just the satisfaction of going and stealing a whole lot of cars and filling up an intersection with bumper-to-bumper cars and then launching a couple of Molotovs at one car and watching the chain reaction of explosions go through all of the cars that you've jacked and set up. That's just so fun.
Well, you should play Saints Row.
Play Saints Row, because
I'll have to pick it up.
It's back to that basically. Like, you get enough gang members on you, and then you have a rocket or a grenade launcher, and you just sit there and blow up every single car, and then the army gets called on you, and
It gets pretty over the top. I haven't played co-op yet, but my friend picked it up at the same time I did, so we're gonna try to do some co-op.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Again, I think it might run better on my 360 than on my computer because I think it's just a software thing. But I don't think it's meant for DX10, DX11 because there's two different modes. It says DX mode and it's recommended for DX10 and 11, but I really think that it doesn't run right. I think if I put it into DX9 mode, it might be able to run better. Right. So, pick it up for the Xbox maybe, and then I can do Horde mode with everyone else, so... Yeah, they have a...
Yeah, if you get it, man, let me know. We'll go through the story code.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, we left out the fact that they have a horde mode, but it's called, like, you know, prostitute horde.
W-H. And you basically, I dressed up in a dog costume and beat prostitutes with a dildo baseball bat. Mm-hmm. Big floppy purple
Big
dildo.
Floppy
no, that's purple. The only way to do it.
Yep.
And they explode into bloody messes. It's ridiculous, dude. It's so over the top. And it's so funny playing Skyrim, then going to play that, then going back to Skyrim.
Oh, my mind can't, like, move the buttons on the 360 controller because I'll go and hit A and it's jump or not jump or use. And, my mind gets turned around going back and forth from all that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's just funny that you have one game that's very serious and very dark and very... mature, and then you have basically every 15-year-old kid's dream. So, parachuting out of a helicopter naked to tackle grandma.
Yeah. So, you haven't. When you take over the headquarters of the Morningstar base is also another awesome, awesome story mission. I'm going to stop going into story missions, but yeah, that game is awesome and ridiculous in many ways, and I want more of it.
Yeah, I just took over that.
Okay, so you have Oleg then?
No, not yet. I just the last thing I did was took over the penthouse, and then I went for the Guardian Angel.
Yeah, there's other things that go on in that game that's amazing. I'm gonna stop talking about the story because I'm gonna spoil stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll skip off that. So those were are the big two releases for the last few weeks. Those are probably two of the bigger releases since the last time Marooners Rock did a podcast.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, there have been quite a few. Well, our last one was post E3.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Skyrim's probably the biggest release since then, as far as how good it is.
So how about that Resistance 3, then? Since we had...
So moving on...
So Chris, what have you been playing?
Which Chris?
No, you Chris, not other Chris. That
I'll go by Gravel to keep that clear.
Oh geez, what haven't I been playing? Rayman Origins, which is one of my favorite platformers ever. Assassin's Creed Revelations, which is just an awesome progression of the series. Lord of the Rings: War in the North, which heavily appeals to my primary geekdom, which is Lord of the Rings. More stuff that I can't remember off the top of my head.
You've been playing with the U-Draw.
Yes, yeah, I've been fooling around with the U-Draw. Once Upon a Monster, I've been playing around with that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to do that for my kid. She's 19 months old, so.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially if you have a kid to play with.
Yep, she'll freak.
Yeah.
Once she's a little bit older, she'll understand it better. So we'll give her another couple months.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. She'll enjoy that.
And then, we'll have to talk more at some other point about U-Draw, but I'm kind of interested in it because my wife loves Pictionary, and I saw they have Pictionary on it. So.
Yeah, the Pictionary that comes with it, or the Pictionary you can buy for it, is kind of like board game Pictionary.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you can make your teams, and you're essentially trying to progress to the end of the board game. And, you know, as you're progressing, you're playing Pictionary in order to determine progression.
How do they give you your clue without everybody seeing it? Do they just have to look away?
Yeah, it's pretty much honor system. Everyone look away. Then you can reveal the clue for whoever's going to be doing the drawing.
Well, I don't know anybody honorable, so I could not play that with my family. My family cheats to win.
Yeah. No, I know some people who cheat. Sorry.
That sounds like you were looking at somebody at the same
time.
Yeah,
I was. I looked over at Lindsay because she cheats at games sometimes because she's devious and sneaky and she's evil-eyeing me again.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And, yeah,
well, we have anything else this week?
No, I think it was a good return. We can pick up more next week.
Are we doing this weekly?
That's what we were doing before, yeah. So hopefully I want to get it back to a weekly format. And see if we can't get it back on track.
Well, talking's hard work, so...
Yeah. It definitely is. It's the hardest part of podcasting is definitely the talking
part.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, don't sweat the post-production I'll be doing. The talking, you guys are doing the hard work.
Oh, yeah, no, post-production, you're just, like, clicking a button and that's it. That's no problem. It's the talking.
I'm just going to go to the internet and find the post-produce button and click it and it'll do it for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a plug-in for that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I just press a button and it knows exactly how to make it sound right.
Yeah, I mean, computers these days, they're intelligent.
Just have Vinny program...
Legal software.
A legal software that does it.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we'll call it Space Lincoln.
It sounds awful. Let's just never talk about Conduit 2 ever again.
I think we should start every episode
with
5-minute discussion about it.
Well, I was thinking maybe we can make our entire next episode just about Conduit 2.
The Conduit 2 special.
Hey, guys. They're making a 3DS version.
Now that's something we can talk about. There we go. Thanks, Vinny.
What I like about Conduit is I've never played it, but I know how to react to it.
Yeah.
What I like about Conduit 2 is I can't even joke about it anymore. There's nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, that's there were... You had stories about when you were doing the testing, like shooting through the entire level because the clipping pane was off?
There was multiple instances of just... Clancy and I would try to race each other to the top, and we ended up finishing, or beating each other in like an hour and a half through the whole game, and then we would try to find ways that we could clip through the entire level, and Yeah, it was half those bugs are still in the game, by the way. Like, there's...
Oh, sweet. I remember what it was. There was some gun that created, like, a giant gravity field.
Yeah, the Dark Star. I think it's called the Dark Star.
That was a fun story.
Yeah, so the programming was all off on it, and it would... If you got 3 kills and then shot this thing up, it would basically suck everyone into the level into this giant thing and crash the game.
Wow.
So, that's all... the testers would do because no one was fixing it. So whenever we would have a multiplayer test, we would literally do that over and over again until they actually fixed it, and then they nerfed it to it was basically like an unusable gun at the end. Because they don't know how to mediate and balance at all. We would give them notes on a good way to like balance all the weapons out. They would never listen to us, so we would just use whatever was the, you know, best gun at the time, and that's still, I believe, how the multiplayer is played. Like, everyone uses one gun, and that's it.
Wow.
For the 4 people.
The multiplayer is still playing.
Yeah, for the 4 people that still play the Conduit 2 online.
Yeah.
That's right. Sad.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead and call it a day today. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Vinny, for being on today.
Thank you for having us.
And yeah, for all you listeners, hopefully, you can find us at Facebook, search Marooners Rock. You can see us at Twitter, twitter.com/marooners_rock. Or you can visit our fantabulous website, maroonersrock.com, and keep your eyes open for the next episode. And I guess that'll do it.
Cool.
See you guys later.
Later on.
Good one. Okay, so just go ahead and stop whenever.